brother.
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We have a very special guest on the line, United States Senator Tammy Baldwin. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Earl?
I'm doing fine. It's been a while since we've had a chance to chat. It's always great to have you on the phone lines.
Well, it's great to connect with you and your listeners. It has been a while.
Well, we don't want to dwell on how long it's been since you and I have last had a dialogue over the airways, but it's great that you are there now. Let's talk a little bit about some of the bills that have passed through the Senate that we may not be aware of, especially the cost of insulin, because many people who are struggling with diabetes and have been for a long, long time, have really been ravished by the spike in the cost of insulin. Let's talk a little bit about how it's going to be stabilized.
Absolutely. You know, the way the system seems to work is that pharmaceutical companies that manufacture these medications, some of which, like insulin, are life-saving, seem to be able to set what price they want, at least as far as America is concerned. People in other countries pay 2 to 3 times less than we do. And we started with insulin, and we hope to pass a bill to control the out-of-pocket costs that patients have to pay in order to keep up with their insulin needs, and cap the out-of-pocket cost at $35 a month. People right now are paying maybe up to $6,000 a year on insulin. Again, something they need to stay alive. But that's just outrageous given the fact that the way they make insulin hasn't changed in 100 years. It hasn't gotten more expensive. The only thing happening that justifies these price hikes is other people are pocketing some of the money, the profits. So we're pleased that in the coming weeks we're going to debate this bill and get a vote on it. And we hope as Democrats that we will be joined by enough Republicans to pass this into law. But if not, we're not going to give up.
You know, Senator Baldwin, I happen to take a thyroid medication, and mm-hmm. I've had my thyroid removed, and so I take a thyroid medication every morning. Can you explain to me how, the cost of a generic thyroid medication has shot through the roof? Those of us who are out here and American citizens, and we're watching this fiasco go on, and we don't understand how, you know, we continue as the American people to suffer with these prices, pharmaceutical prices, and as if, you know, it can't be stopped.
That's right, and it can be stopped. We just have to find the political will to do it. I might add, Earl, that my mother had her thyroid out and took probably the same medication for her entire life. And, the formula hasn't changed. It hasn't become an improved or value-added product. There's no reason for anything other than, minor adjustments in price, except for the fact that there's nothing preventing the pharmaceutical companies and the pharmacy benefit managers, which are the middlemen between the pharmacies and the hospitals and the pharmaceutical companies. And so there's a lot of different approaches to getting these prices under control. One of them is the one we're going to do with insulin. It's just controlling, capping out-of-pocket costs for patients. But another way is to grant Medicare the power to negotiate with all the pharmaceutical companies to bring the prices lower. And lastly, I would say that there is a way to require more transparency and accountability.
So, Senator Barber, we're losing you a little bit, but go ahead. Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
So, Senator Barber, so there's basic. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So there's basically, multiple ways to get at lowering the cost. It's, as we're doing with the insulin, it's capping the costs that patients pay out of pocket at $35 per month. But I believe we also have to take the extra step to permit Medicare, that has over 40 million beneficiaries, to negotiate directly with the pharmaceutical companies for lower prices. That's what all the other wealthy countries in the world do. That's why Americans pay more than 2 to 3 times more than people do in other countries for their drugs. And then lastly, I think transparency is going to be a key part of this. We have to follow the dollars. Where do they go when a company that makes an EpiPen for severe allergic reactions doubles the cost of it? Who benefits? Certainly not the patient.
So many of us are now aware of this, Senator Baldwin, and I don't have to tell you, are extremely frustrated that we, in this country, we just can't seem to get the things done that benefit the American taxpayer. And corporations, I get it. I know who, you know what, and who corporations are. But it seems to me inconceivable that dollars, tax dollars that are being spent from the citizens of this country go to many of the pharmaceutical companies that create these medications, and yet we don't get to benefit from it. And I know that, you know, there's a battle going on, it's been going on, but is the battle based now on what side of the aisle you're on? Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, I will say that the differences on this issue fall largely along partisan lines. And that's why, you know, we're taking this step with insulin to see if just tackling one very important medication that people need to survive, and there's a lot of people in the United States that have diabetes and rely on insulin, if maybe we can find bipartisan ground on that. Because every time prior that we've tried to allow Medicare to negotiate for all medications, it has fallen almost always on party lines.
So let's talk about some of the other things that have that are in this new appropriations bill that we should know about.
Oh my, there's a lot. But on an annual basis, we pass a funding bill basically that funds all the federal agencies and programs that flow down to the state and local jurisdictions. And this year there were a few changes. One of the things that made a return after a 10-year absence was what are called congressionally directed spending, otherwise known as earmarks. And so you saw a lot more activity among senators who know their states better than folks in Washington, D.C. who might otherwise be charged with funding various programs. So Milwaukee, the city and Milwaukee County and southeastern Wisconsin actually is getting some special attention in terms of some projects that, you know, have been on the back burner because of lack of funding. And the Milwaukee County is going to get some federal support for the construction of a mental health emergency center. I know that's been a goal for a long time. There's money for improving the county transit system buses. And then United Way of Greater Milwaukee and Waukesha County is getting $1 million that I fought really hard for to support their eviction prevention services. This has been a long standing issue, and it's a very, if you've ever read the book Eviction that focuses on yes. Milwaukee, we know that eviction can be and often is a life-altering event. And that's just a sampling of some really special things we've been able to fund this year because of the return of earmarks. I was proud to support the omnibus, as we call it, but the big appropriations bill that funds government. And I was really proud, especially, to be able to deliver results specifically for Wisconsinites in many communities across the state. We're also in that bill finally able to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, which will continue to provide vital services and support for survivors of sexual assault, domestic abuse, dating violence, and stalking throughout the state.
You know, Senator Baldwin, a couple other things before we have to part ways. What about the continued problem with leaded water in the city of Milwaukee? Some of us can't comprehend how we know children are being poisoned on a daily basis in our city. The nation is aware of it. Even the president talked about, and Senator and Vice President Kamala Harris came to the city and talked about, you know, the continued poisoning of our children on a daily basis. Is that a top priority, or where is that on the list of things?
It's very high on the list of things. I will mention that while we were talking about the appropriations bill that just passed, it was signed into law Tuesday of this week. Late last year, we passed a major bipartisan infrastructure law. And infrastructure defined pretty broadly to include not only surface transportation, but water infrastructure. And that means safe drinking water, as well as better technology for cleaning up wastewater. But with regard to lead pipes, there is a goal and a vision as a part of the bipartisan infrastructure law to get rid of all lead pipes over the next 10 years. Milwaukee has about 70,000. And prior to passage of the bipartisan infrastructure law, there was money in the local, the Milwaukee budget to remove about 1,000 pipes per year. Do the math, that would be 70 years to get rid of all of them. That's a couple of generations of children growing up in houses that have lead laterals. That's not tolerable. And so the bipartisan infrastructure law prioritizes removal of lead pipes and wants to do it in a much shorter time horizon. One of the things that was so wonderful about Vice President Harris's visit was to highlight the fact that if we're going to do it in a much shorter timeline, we need a lot more pipe fitters and plumbers. And there are job and training opportunities to go, say, right from high school to an apprenticeship to into a high-paying, family-supporting job that will serve you well for the rest of your life. And so what excites me is that not only that we have the vision and we've put some funds behind doing this in a much shorter time period, but that a lot of people could benefit in terms of careers.
So last issue for you, I know you got to run. What is your thought on what has happened with the elections, tampering, and the fact that in this state, Republicans are doing everything within their power to divert opportunities for people to vote?
Yeah, it is just unbelievable what's going on, that the focus with our state legislature, the state Republican leaders, and former Justice Gableman getting his contract extended to investigate the last election, which was clearly fair. And Joe Biden won, and just studying and investigating and auditing all that's been done so far has reiterated that underlying fact. And you still have, Gableman coming before the state legislature a week or so ago and saying Wisconsin should consider decertifying the last election. Meanwhile, the legislature is passing laws that make it more difficult to vote. Thank goodness we have a governor who's vetoing those bills as they come to his desk. But the Gableman investigation is a farce. Even 60 Minutes last Sunday spent 20 minutes talking about how out of control Wisconsin has gotten. So I say, as they try to make it harder and harder for people to access the ballot box, that we have to find the resolve to be even more determined to vote and say, you can't stop us.
Senator Baldwin, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the airwaves. The phone lines are always open for you. Let us know. Congratulations on all the good work, and we've got to go to a break. Thank you very much,
right.
And have a great time until we meet again.